Redefining America, Constitution and Leadership 2010. This is Mark Seltzer.
And this is Jessica Piclo.
Today we're going to jump forward and look ahead at those November elections, the midterm elections, which right now are quite the frothy bit of politics, as at least part of the Republican opposition to healthcare was about positioning themselves for the November run. Of course, much of it was also substantive, but certainly that is on a lot of representatives' minds, and it's a worthwhile topic to take a look at even this far in advance.
Absolutely, and the Democrats are gearing up for it as well, and they know they've got an uphill battle on a couple key constituencies and would like to not lose any momentum that they may have right now as a result of the passage of healthcare reform and student loan overhaul.
Yes, it's remarkable with the size of the accomplishment by the Democrats after so many years of administrations trying, and then even after so much time in this new administration pushing to get this done, when it finally got done, there wasn't the kind of elation in the public. I think there was in the Democratic caucus, but not in the public, as you know, one might have thought. And Obama is now trying to change that, to bring popular support along on the enterprise.
I mark that up to the public being party to the sausage-making part of the legislation, that we're quite honestly not used to seeing the ins and outs of committee work and the dealing that goes on to get a significant piece of legislation done. So they became weary of it all. Part of that was a function of the administration not handling the messaging properly. And part of it, I think, is they were caught a little flat-footed by the pushback that they were going to get from the Republican Party.
Yeah. The public was able to see more. Certainly media is now in our hyped 24-hour coverage mode. And then, of course, you know, Twitter and all the additional angles that information is conveyed. People probably do tend to get weary of and mistrustful of what they see. And also, the Republicans took advantage. I mean, they used anything they could, and they pressed the media, you know, in a way that's probably never been done before.
I think the Democrats learned their lesson, though, and we see that with the Obama administration taking the Republicans head on with this message of repeal and replace. Let's see, what are you going to repeal, and how are you going to repeal it, and what are you going to replace it with?
I blogged on that in the last couple of days because I'm struck by the topsy-turvy nature of this, that because the Obama healthcare plan cuts the deficit over time and quite substantially in the estimates over the next 20 years, if the Republicans were to come in and repeal it, they would be raising the deficit unless they replace that with some very strong cost cutting. And, you know, the Republicans don't have such a great record in honestly lowering the deficit mm-hmm. on the various significant matters. I mean, somebody is going to have to continue taking on entitlement reforms over the next 20 years just to get everything back in balance.
It once again is a reminder to the public that the Republicans had yet to come forward with any significant plan of their own. So by continuing to push this message, even if it is kind of irrelevant for all intents and purposes, it's a way for the Obama administration to consistently remind the public of a lack of leadership on these significant issues. It's good to see the Democrats take a strong position on this and to finally stake out some territory as we're gearing into the midterms. But I think that also speaks in part to the fact that our president is a fantastic campaigner and really thrives in that campaign environment.
The president is, and I felt that immediately after his speech at the signing of the legislation, as well as since then, he has made the issues more clear than has been done for much of the last year. Now, part of it during the last year, nobody wanted to come out and specifically talk about why a particular issue made so much sense because they weren't sure if it was going to be in the bill. There was a lot of negotiating and horse trading going on. Now that that is behind them and they have a bill, Obama is selling it, and there is no better person to make those speeches, to connect with people and sell healthcare to the extent that it needs to be sold. It certainly does need to be explained, and that's what's going on now.
So then why all the gloom and doom from the mainstream media that the Democrats are going to have their heads handed to them in the midterm election?
Well, for one thing, when a president wins big, there's always a loss for his party in the number of seats in the midterm elections following. That's a very typical voting pattern, and that's anticipated regardless of how popular the president is, and regardless of what the politics are of the moment and the substantive issues going on. I thought that Nate Silver did a nice job of explaining in his, I think it's an Esquire article, that the president pulls out the vote. So when you have a president succeed during their election and win handily, the grassroots effort, everybody comes out to vote, and there's a loss, an apathy, a loss of focus in the midterm election. And so naturally, the other party is going to pick up simply for lack of momentum the president's power.
I am not one that is buying into the extent of the gloom and doom forecast for the Democrats, in part because of the spotlight that this recent RNC spending scandal has put on the Republican Party's overall money-raising efforts. While they've been throwing money at all sorts of very lavish trips and questionable outings, it is at the same time a true statement that they are being outraised and outspent by Democrats, which is ironic considering the fact that the Democrats have such a large majority in Congress and in Washington right now. So the Republicans have spent some money pretty wisely in some key races, but they're not raising the kind of money that they need to raise to really bring it home in some of the hotly contested seats. And I just think that by the time we get to November, that will catch up with them.
Yeah.
And some of these races will be much closer than maybe we're prognosticating right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there's some elements that make this very hard to predict. We have the Citizens United decision, which frees up money to come into the election where it might have been restrained previously. And we're not yet sure how that's going to play out, at least initially after the Supreme Court decision. There was a sense that this might bring a lot of corporate money into Republican candidates, but it's not clear that that's happening. And both the Tea Party movement and radical elements in the Republican debate may be scaring off some more mainstream entities that would give money. So I think there's a lot of uncertainty as how this is going to work out, as well as what happens in some of these primaries. For example, in the Arizona primary, in the battle between McCain and a more conservative challenger, what is that going to say in going into November in terms of the choices that the populace has?
I think that the Republican money woes right now speaks to the fact that they really lack a coherent national vision and a national leadership plan. And to point to the Arizona race in particular is a great example of that. We have somebody who should be the standard bearer of the Republican Party right now, and he's driving hard to the right because he's got a very serious challenge in this primary and could easily lose his seat. Now, what does that mean for the more moderate and independent voters in a general election? Will they turn out just to vote for the Republican on the ticket, regardless of who that Republican is? I don't know. If those big donors aren't giving money right now because they're uncomfortable with this fringe element that is currently driving the boat, they may stay home much the same way that disaffected or fatigued progressives would stay home in a midterm election.
And I think another thing that we don't know yet is how Obama, who is really an incredible campaigner, an incredible orator, how will he affect the midterm elections? Because his popularity is still fairly strong. You know, people have raised some great concerns. There's a lot of fear, especially with senior citizens, about Medicare, about healthcare, about reform. And it makes sense when you're doing comprehensive reform, people are going to be concerned about their interests. But the president himself is still quite popular, and we know that he is going to be campaigning on behalf of Democrats, and that his organizing ideas, his using the internet, his having groups of people out in the communities that are supporting him and bringing out the vote is going to be going strong. And it may be that it turns out that that's a much bigger factor that isn't being talked about yet in terms of keeping people inspired about coming out.
I think we are also underestimating the extent to which this country is undergoing a paradigm shift, one that we have not seen since the first election of Ronald Reagan, where our country moved significantly to the right. And not that we're overcorrecting by any stretch to the left, but I do think that there is a moderating of some of these more socially conservative positions that comes just with generational shift. And so presuming that younger voters in particular continue to go out, which they don't typically do in the midterm elections, anyhow, again, it's that tied to sort of the big money races. But to the extent that they stay engaged in these issues of energy reform and financial services overhaul, that we keep this as these big domestic issues and really campaign on the hard-fought victories that we've made so far, it could be an election, a midterm election, like one we just haven't seen before. There is a lot of just, you know, the ground shifting beneath our feet that makes this difficult for us to really put our finger on, and I think makes for some lazy journalism by the mainstream media to say, well, you know, it's over for the Democrats in the midterms, and, you know, maybe by 2012 things will brighten up for them. I just don't know about that, and I'm not typically an optimistic person when it comes to the ability of the Democrats to screw something up.
Well, you know, I just was blogging about this scandal with the Republican Party spending, and I pointed out that there was a retort against it from a Democratic spokesman, party spokesman, that I thought was very clever and sharp. And I also feel that the message has not been clear this year compared to what I would have expected, given that Obama is at the top of the party right now. And I'm wondering if they're going to be able to wrestle with that. I mean, I know they put everything they had into healthcare and that took a great deal, but I wonder now, maybe a more moderated course, trying to go through financial services reform, as you say. There's talk of putting immigration up on the table. Whether the Democrats can steer the message in a way that is really, you know, serving their best interests and not lose hold of it. I mean, they really lost it with those town halls on healthcare in the fall, last fall.
And well, Congress is in recess, and when Congress is in recess, that's the time for the governing party to come out on the offense. So my hope is that the Democrats can come out on the offensive and stay on the offensive, because quite honestly, they do better when they're fighting. And they kind of surprised themselves that they had some fight in them. It was like, wow, we won. Okay, now we're going to govern and everybody's going to get along, in this very sort of naive approach to how things work, and really underestimating the reluctance of the Republican Party to do anything other than obstruct for the sake of its own immediate benefit. This sort of, you know, this romanticism that people are actually there to govern as opposed to obstruct. I mean, you know, we see that, I think, with the recess appointments that President Obama had to make, and hopefully he makes more. I mean, work's got to get done. And if people aren't going to be on board, then get out of the way. And I like that coming from the Democrats finally.
Yeah. The public will respond to a fierceness and a strength, and that is something that the Democrats need to lead with. I think there's no way to say that Obama is not strong. I mean, he has been incredible in what he has accomplished and what he has put forward. There is a way in which he stays reasonable and does not fly off the handle and does not, you know, yell back. And I think it, to some extent, the public is looking for even more. And that even more from him would serve the poll numbers and serve Democrats and serve their cause going into November. Because the Republicans have showed a great deal of feistiness, even though they have taken the position they're just not going to participate. And I think it's rather an immature position for leadership.
Well, and we saw that with Obama the campaigner too, where there was some complaints and concerns that he was too cool, the, you know, sort of detached constitutional professor. And when he came out really hard and attacking back at the Clinton campaign, his numbers really took off. And so I think you're right. People do want to see that kind of fight from him. And when he delivers it, people respond. So I wouldn't count the Democrats out necessarily. I'm not going to say it's going to be a big historical midterm elections for them, but I'm willing to believe that the losses won't be as bad as some may think they will be.
You know, I'm tempted to talk about immigration reform, but I also think that's something maybe to put off for its own, its own discussion.
Oh, yeah, I think
if it comes up, it's going to have a lot of focus and a lot of heat in terms of, you know, how people are going to look at it and with the election coming up. But I think it's just so much of a quagmire, we probably need to give it some time on its own.
I agree.
All right, should we call it a day?
Sure, that was great.
Great. Thanks, Jessica.